It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Hello, and welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. The only podcast in the world that has already been given 232 chances and has not learned its lesson. I am Tony.
And I'm William. And this is episode 233.
Because we haven't learned.
We haven't learned.
Neither apparently has the young man outside.
Nope. Apparently not.
We've got our own episode of Campus PD being filmed outside.
Why
right
do you
now.
Keep saying campus? It's an
Because that was the, no, that was what the show was called.
I know, but this is there was also a show called Cops with like cops, and that, this guy's from Iowa City, so why don't you just say Cops?
Because Cops was not a show I liked, and so I consider that an insult. And I'm riveted to this out here. In Iowa City, we have little moped. I don't know. What is that about? He's wearing a vest, and he's got a little flag on it. I've seen those around. That's like a specific thing associated with the university, I think.
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe it's University Meter Maids or something.
It's a canine cop, too. He's got a dog in his car.
But no, the little mopeds and the little orange flags on the back and the vests, that's a thing. I see them around Iowa City. So there's some official capacity, but I think it's college-based because it's always college-age-looking kids.
Well, I don't know why there's even the debate going on. It sounds like what happened was this kid was riding, it's a scooter, I guess, huh? Or a moped or something?
Yeah, it's a little dinky.
And he doesn't have the proper license for it. But, I mean, they wouldn't know that unless they had a reason to stop him.
No, so there must have been some other reason.
So he must have violated some kind of traffic law.
I come out from the back, and I see him sitting there talking on his phone. And I'm like, why did he just park in the middle of it? Why is he doing that? And then I heard a door close, and I thought maybe you were here. But then, as I moved forward a little bit more, I saw that there was a policeman with the lights coming in. He was coming out to talk to the guy. And like I said, the kid was already on his phone. And so nothing too interesting happened, and I sat here. And then I hear him say, thank you very much for coming. I needed your help because we did a little math here, and this is about $1,300 worth of tickets, and that can't happen.
Who said that? The kid?
The kid said that.
That so can't happen!
I got up and looked, and the kid is standing there with the cop and with a woman who looks similar to the kid.
Well, I'm sure that's his mom.
Yeah, that was my guess, is that it was his mom. And after
that can't happen?
Yes.
What is that supposed to mean?
It means that he will die if he has to pay that much money. Come on, well, teenagers say that can't happen all the
time. See, this is the thing. I got here just a few minutes ago. Not more than a minute before you started this recording.
Yes.
And
it was probably a minute or two after I had heard the famous now quote.
And the mom was just driving up. I don't even know what they could still be talking about. Because if it were me and the police officer...
how was the mom just driving up? Were you here before I saw you?
Yeah. I mean, I had to park over there. I sat for just a little while figuring out where I should park because I didn't even know what was going on.
That may have been. Okay.
So she was just getting out of the car. And if it were me, and the police officer said, well, this is what the kid did. This is how he's not licensed to drive this vehicle. This is the ticket, and this is how much it's going to be. I'd say, okay. I mean, how can a kid say, and that can't happen? I mean, maybe you can talk to the judge about that not happening, but you can't.
Okay.
It's not the police officer's ability, really, or authority to say, I'm not going to...
Okay, I'm going to try and translate this into William. If you are saying, what is the point of saying that clearly you don't have the influence or authority to do anything about that, and neither does the police officer, so it's really pointless.
Well, the police officer kind of does, because I suppose he could decide not to write the ticket, but the ticket's going to be
If that's what
is.
You're saying, yes, you are correct. However, if what you are saying is, why on earth would this teenage kid, when faced with four figures worth of fines, blurt out something crazy like, this can't happen, I would say, that's super normal.
It is?
Oh, yeah.
Why? What attitude does this kid have to think that this is just an arbitrary thing? And
it's not...
His mom can come and talk the police officer out of it.
Here's the thing. It's not an ultimatum. It's not a decree. It's a plea. It's saying, please, this cannot happen to me. My life can't handle this. You, please have mercy on me. This cannot. That's why I said it could also mean he would literally die, because that's the other version. If this happens, I will die. Or if this another. I mean, the old version is, if this happens, my dad will kill me. His dad's not actually going to kill him, and the police officer in general is not going to be like, oh, no ticket for you then. Okay, if then, your dad would kill you, well, then, it's a matter of life and death.
What does he think his mom's going to be able to do?
I have no idea. I think he's a stupid kid. The point is, I'm saying it's totally in line to say this can't happen. Especially, we did a little math. Like, this kid's a little bit up there, and he believes in his skills all around. I feel like this is not a humble kid. Maybe he will become a humble kid after he pays $1,300.
Well, I'm trying to think of
more than that scooter's worth.
What? I mean, I've known some police officers who, and guys who I think are very good police officers, mm-hmm. who, if a kid gave them that kind of attitude, was just going to make the situation worse.
Maybe that's how it hit 1,300. Maybe it was way less to begin with. No, and that was the thing on Cops. Not on Cops, on Campus PD, the version that I liked, because it was just college kids who were fucking in touch. And that's the thing. Is the good ones, and I'd say 80% of the ones on there, the cop says, okay, I get that you did something here. If you get rid of it, go home, you know, what your friend drive, whatever it is, we'll just skip it. But then they go apeshit. Not always angry, but just other things, or like trying to deny it or whatever. And then eventually it comes up. And what's awesome about it, and why teenagers are assholes, is inevitably when the cop is like, I tried, dude, but nope, you're coming. They're like, no, wait, what if I just go home now? What if I just... And he's like, no, I told you. Like, constantly. There were the fucking ones... I love the... Dude, you clearly have weed. Like, give me... If you have any more weed, tell me about it. We'll just have a little fine. If I search your car and it's there, you're going to jail. Four kids. He asked them all this. They're all like, no, totally found weed. Not even like well hidden. Like, oh, and that little thing under the center dash. It's right.
Well, like, did they think the police officer was lying or something? Like,
well, I think maybe, yeah, just don't trust the cops.
Okay.
Also, we have to consider in that instance, they were probably all high. Mm. So, you know, they probably think he's a demon goat anyway. So that's what pot does. 420, no, not even once.
That's what pot does.
Yes. Reefer Madness was only inaccurate in the fact that it did not have the technology of special effects to properly bring home what marijuana can do to you. Children, tell your parents. Parents, resist temptation. Listen to your children. 420 no. Hashtag.
Hashtag. Well, the hashtag. Yeah,
Rob Delaney does hashtag 420 no. He does a lot of anti pot tweets out there. Pretty good ones. So hello. Anyway, if you're new, this is our show. We gossip about what is going on outside my window, which is why the first 232 episodes have been incredibly dull. Nobody's gotten pulled over during... It's only during this hour. Like, what are the odds, you know? It's
never happened before.
It worked well this time. Anyway, no. What happens is we have a magical hat. We have a hat, and it's magic. In that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And people like yourselves, good people, occasionally Welsh people, but mostly good people, write in to that email address with little notes, little comments, questions, topics, things like that. No big whoop. The hat all on its own magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. I'm going to pause for a second here to explain to you the reason I kind of flubbed up at the beginning of my explanation, even though I've done it almost hundreds of times now, is because midway through that sentence, I started realizing I was going to have to come up with an E word. And that threw me off. And I still haven't got one, so fuck it. It's E word deleted. Servants. Probably should have said redacted.
Redacted, right.
Deleted also, you know. Because this is a recording. People, it's not live. You're hearing it pre-recorded. Get over yourselves. Anyway, it's thing redacted. Servants. Draw note cards out of the hat at random. Read them on the air. Talk about them until we're bored. Do that for about an hour. That's the whole show.
Yep.
So, William, how is your week? Tell us about Batman Dracula.
Huh?
Batman Dracula. I assume we're going to start combining the two.
Well, I mean, there is some Batman Dracula stuff out there.
Oh!
In fact, DC released, I think, its latest film. Its latest movie is like a Justice League movie where the characters are changed a little bit and Batman's a vampire, but...
Ooh.
No, but I haven't seen that.
Just recently I read an article that used the metaphor, if such and such was Batman, this event would have been his parents being gunned down. I don't remember what it was, but it was like perfect metaphor, yeah.
I see. Remember when you were asking me if I was going to read The Vampire by,
yes,
like that original? I did, yes, read that.
And?
That's good, I liked it.
Did you watch Gothic on Netflix?
No.
Did you ever watch American Gothic, the TV show?
No. But, you know, that's a Sam,
very cool TV,
that's
show,
a Sam Raimi show. We kind of wanted to see it.
American Gothic with Sam Raimi?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
I was before anybody knew who the fuck he was.
So that's why we wanted to see it. Because, I mean, you know, it's not like everything Sam Raimi does is gold or something. No. But he's done a lot of good stuff, so we thought, well, maybe it's be all right.
I watched it. I loved it at the time.
Yeah.
Problem is, this was back before people had a good sense of, you know, wrapping things up. So, it had one season, fuck all gets answered. And the whole show is like mysterious, weird stuff. You don't get the answer to, like, anything.
Yeah, I think we had the Netflix queue, and for some reason we took it out or something.
But yeah, it's like the original Creepy Town series.
Yeah.
Like, they've had a lot since then. There's that whatever Paramount Falls or whatever it is on Fox right now. Mm-hmm. There was Happy Town a few years ago. Once Upon a Time started off as a similar thing. This was like the original one of those.
Mm. I thought Twin Peaks was the original one of those.
I stand corrected. Twin Peaks was the original one of those. For some reason, I don't think of it in those terms.
Well,
Twin Peaks is weird, but I don't feel like it's a
weird town.
This perfectly normal seeming town. No,
yeah.
It's not a Pleasantville or a Stepford Wives kind of.
Yeah,
vibe.
You're right about that. You're right about that.
Also, I'm sure I'm wrong though. So go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com, and tell me what show I forgot about or didn't know of that falls into that category of like it's this perfect little town, but not really.
We're watching.
So, like, basically, when we find out in a few years what the secret below Melcher Dallas really is, the horrific apocalyptic secret of that town that has been hiding for so many decades, if you did a TV show about that, that's the kind of TV show I'm talking about.
We're watching the History Channel's Monster Quest. The last episode, Monster Quest, last episode.
Wait.
For that was like 4 5 years ago or something.
Okay, so this isn't the one now with the hillbillies pretending they almost catch Bigfoot every week.
I don't think so.
There's a show right now. That might be called Monster Squad.
Oh. No, this is called Monster Quest. And it ran from like 2006 to 2000.
Now, is this we're
10 or 11,
trying to find Bigfoot or the Jersey Devil? Or is this there's this really fucked up thing that only exists in this part of northern Mongolia?
There's three things that the show does.
Okay.
One... One thing they do is search for cryptids that you may or may not have heard of.
All right.
Including
that may or may not totally not exist.
Yeah, including so far about 6 different versions of Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Okay. Or they're looking for a known animal that some people claim reaches an unusual size.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And the scientists they don't believe it.
The
so.
Boa can reach 150 or feet whatever, long. And, whatever. Yeah, or colossal squids back before we were sure if they were colossal squids.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing they do is known animals that they know how big they get and all this stuff, but they don't typically threaten humans. Their habitat is typically far away from humans, but the story is that they're getting closer and closer and people are seeing them in their neighborhood or something.
Oh,
like,
see, I hate that episode.
Something
kinda.
Like
that doesn't seem right.
Or like the one episode they did was that you know, shark attacks are on the increase and sharks are getting closer and closer to the shore and whatever. Is that really happening or is that just something people say?
Yeah. See, I hate that. The other two varieties I like because I'm like, oh, this is so fucked up and awesome. Check it out. And the third one is the, what chemical is going to kill your children in your very house right now? Tune in at 11.
Kind of. Well, but it's kind of interesting because some of the things they've looked at, like you were mentioning, large constrictor snakes making their way into residential areas of southern Florida and things like that. It's kind of interesting.
All the animals live in Florida. Like, I know Australia is just full of things that will kill you, but I'm sure everything you find in Australia you could find in southern Florida at this point. Somebody has smuggled one in.
But the reason
crazy.
I brought it up was because they had one episode. Oh, I think you're having something delivered now?
Yes. We couldn't figure out what it was for supper. But I don't like this delivery person, so don't give him a tip. Just punch him in the face.
I thought it didn't matter. I thought it was all.
I'm totally kidding. Just get the food.
Get the food. Hi. What are you doing? Did you get a Sierra on this?
No, Trish did.
Oh, Trish got it.
All right, this is the exciting food delivery portion of the show. I don't know how the audience is, but this is always my favorite part. All right, actually, but now, no, just put it somewhere for a second. I don't have room with the mic and everything. But this is actually my new favorite part, although we've only gotten to experience one time.
No,
yell for Trish, please.
Where is she?
She's in the back, same place she was last time.
Well, you could yell for just as easily.
No,
because
I'm blocked. See, the sound won't carry as well.
In the back? Back here?
That way.
Hey, Trish! Is that my pizza? Well, I don't know what it is.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Wait, she sounds like she's over there.
She's lying to you.
Oh.
My new goddamn favorite segment. William, the unwilling butler.
I don't know. How do you open this thing?
William hasn't been around pizza boxes for a while, so
well,
he's a little
how do I know which,
thrown by pizza box
yours?
Technology. Mine is pepperoni and bacon. Hers is garlic.
Well, I think this one's yours.
All right.
I think. I don't know.
Let's find out. William, the unwilling butler. He's the alter ego of extreme Willie Wright, extreme jackass billionaire. William, the unwilling butler. This is a new character.
Is that the wrong one?
No, that's totally the right one. Holy shit, they really went crazy with the bacon this time.
Well, you know, we should have started with you talking about your week, because now you're going to be eating and expect me to do a whole bunch of talking, which I don't understand. Here's why I brought up Monster Quest, because there was an episode about werewolves, because apparently
werewolf attacks are on the rise
in Wisconsin.
Of course
there are some people who see these creatures that some people see them as like a Bigfoot type of character, but other people see them more as like a wolf-like character. Okay. So anyhow, so the episode starts talking about about werewolves in history and in folklore and whatever.
Okay.
And then eventually they work up.
Did they do the whole undead vampire
part? I don't remember if they mentioned that.
Because I love that, but you're the only person I've ever heard that from. So you could be lying.
But there's a chronology to it, you know, so they're going back a certain ways. And then when they get up closer to modern times, they talk about how today when people talk about werewolves outside of a fictional context, they're talking about a psychological issue. People who believe they're werewolves.
Oh, yeah.
So they have this belief that they're a werewolf, and so it's a psychiatric concern or a psychological concern. So at this point,
they're on the hunt for people with a particular psychological condition.
So this is getting at the end of the narrator's talk about, you know, the history or the record about werewolves. Mm-hmm. And so he sums it up by saying something like, and so in the 20th century, the subject of werewolves is relegated to the realm of psychology and Wisconsin. I love that. That was awesome. In the rest of the world, it's just in your head. But in Wisconsin, it's real. It's real.
Damn straight.
Oh, I thought that was great.
That was an old joke I heard at my first job out of college from an old man who ran the place. And he said, but he doesn't tell you it's a joke. That's how it's one of those. You say, do you know? So you know the black boxes in airplanes that like record everything.
Mm-hmm.
The automotive industry is experimenting with putting them in their vehicles to help like figure out the causes of wrecks and stuff like that. In the newer SUVs, not just in anything, but like in the SUVs, cause they have a lot of accidents with those. And what they've discovered, weird trends, that in like 98% of cases, the last words you hear before an accident are, oh shit, like specifically. Except in Wisconsin, where like 80% of cases, the last words you hear are, hold my beer and watch this, eh?
Hold my beer and watch this.
Yep. To be fair, you can translate that to several states up there, but the one I heard it on was Wisconsin. And if I'm making the joke, that's the one I'm making fun of.
I just thought that was pretty funny. The show is really interesting because, well, first of all, as I've said many times, I like ghost stories. And somehow, stories about cryptids especially also kind of fascinate me. Not that I think that these things exist, but the stories about them are pretty interesting. Especially if they're being told by someone who insists that they've experienced it themselves.
Yeah.
Which I don't doubt what they're telling me is how they really remember it or whatever.
They're just insane.
Well, no, I'm not even going to say that. I don't know. But what people need to understand in these situations, the same thing with people that tell stories about their ghost encounters, which I also like to hear.
Yes.
is
a bunch of TV shows about that too, including one with celebrities.
When someone says, well, that's anecdotal evidence. Yeah. And they're saying it in a somewhat dismissive tone. They're not saying that it didn't happen.
No.
And they're definitely not saying that you didn't experience it, because you probably experienced it. Whatever happened, this is what you experienced. What they're saying is that it doesn't serve as scientific evidence.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that's a concept that's so hard for people to understand. And even in this show, it happens all the time. People who are scientists, they're trained scientists or in a scientific occupation. It's like, well, we have all of this evidence. You've got a ton of anecdotal evidence.
Yeah.
And that's not scientific evidence. I mean, there is something more to it when you've got lots of people telling similar stories, especially if they're not corroborating those stories.
Yeah.
But that still doesn't constitute evidence. That constitutes interesting stories.
And I'll explain this to you. So there's two factors here. One is the just genuine defensiveness. People don't want people disbelieving them, so they're going to jump on whatever they got to say, look at all this evidence, and that's what they'll call it. But the other one, I think this is a bigger one. People cannot separate themselves from the political, the social, essentially, So it's like, it reminded me very much of a thing that comes up a lot on notalwaysright.com, which is people have a credit card. They have written on the credit card check ID. You know, a lot of people do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that then if it's stolen, it's not going to be any good to them because you've written on the back. And so they the person hands the card to a cashier and it says, oh, it says I need to check the ID. And they say, oh, no, I just wrote that on there in case it gets stolen. And they say, yeah, I need to verify. She says, no, but I'm me. You only have to check ID if it's somebody else. It's hilarious, it's real, and I have read at least a dozen of these stories from different places. And they never resolve with the person realizing. They always end with the person either doing it really unwillingly, showing their ID, or refusing to, like, leaving without making their purchase.
Huh.
Always. Nobody ever is like, oh, okay, I get it. And that's what I'm saying. In their head. So, what you say when you say there's no evidence is that it totally... Well, okay, same thing here. The cashiers are not saying you're a thief.
Yeah, right.
The cashiers are saying it says this, yeah, so I have to do this.
Right.
Somebody says there's no evidence. If I tell you a situation about something you've never seen and you don't believe, and I say, but this guy saw it, so that's proof, right? You'd be like, I don't know this guy.
Yeah.
So maybe.
Well,
but then in the reverse situation, you don't think of yourself as that guy. So it's like, yes, it's evidence. I saw it firsthand. Yeah, but you're that guy. I like to believe you're honest, and you totally might be. But we live in a society here, and we can't assume that everyone who says, I saw a goddamn werewolf in Wisconsin, isn't a liar or crazy.
Well, okay, now see, that's another aspect of it is that there's no room for the person who doesn't think either of those things. Like, I don't think you're a liar, I don't think you're crazy.
So you're what, werewolf agnostic?
Well, there's plenty of room for you just to not have it make a decision about this person. In other words, I don't know you, so I don't know if I can trust what you're saying is true. But by that same logic, I can't sit here and say you're a liar or crazy.
Absolutely.
I'm not making a judgment about you. There's plenty of room here for me to be, as you just said, to be completely agnostic about you and what you experienced.
So this was me getting caught up in a semantic. You aren't saying, I believe that you are not lying and not crazy. You are saying, I don't believe that you are lying or crazy. So you're not putting your trust in them. You are saying, I freely admit, I can't prove either way.
Right.
If you're lying or crazy, at least at the moment.
So I should, and that's a valid place for me to be in relation to this thing. But a lot of times room isn't allowed for that. The person insists that you must think they're either a liar or crazy.
Yeah.
Well, no, I don't have to think either of those things.
Well,
I can just think
standard duality.
I can just say I don't know.
Yeah.
And, but also if I were in that position myself, I think the way I would tell the story is I don't expect anyone to believe this is true.
I know this. You think this is crazy.
This is going to sound crazy or whatever. This is what I experienced, or at least what I thought I experienced. Here are the things that I can acknowledge, that maybe I was temporarily out of my gourd for a second. I mean, the brain can do a lot of things.
Yeah.
And for you to think that those might be possibilities, I completely understand that, and I'm not going to take it personally if you do. But to me, that's the only way to approach it. I mean,
too much ego. And so to say out the gate, I understand everybody's going to think I'm insane. And not only do I understand that, I'm okay with that because if I was in your position, I would. Those people are less common. And here's the huge one. Those people might tell their friends they're not going to be on a goddamn TV show about it. Those people say,
true.
I know this is crazy. I'm not going to go on a TV show and tell people I saw a goddamn werewolf in Wisconsin.
No, you're right about that. The people who are willing to be on television probably feel like they've got skin in
the
game, so to speak.
They have to enlighten the world.
Or yeah, they've got to really...
Fuck all that. They're there for attention, and they are liars.
Yeah. But because I just like stories like this, I really enjoy the program, and I also like the fact that it's not one of those shows that tries to make you insult your intelligence by trying to make you think that something was seen or found when it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Like some of these paranormal investigation shows.
Oh yeah, bro, did you hear that, bro?
And you know they walk away. Well, nothing was found on the videotapes, but it was inconclusive whether or not there was a ghost there because this happened and this happened. No, it was not inconclusive. Well, and then there's they didn't Monster find
Squad.
Anything.
Like I was talking, I think it's called Monster Squad. That's the hillbillies hunting Bigfoot and stuff. Them, like, it has to be on purpose. There has like shit where you can see, like, they fuck it up. Like, somebody's unconscious and then they're doing shaky cam and you actually see that person, like, get up or whatever. Like, it's ridiculous. And all sorts of, oh, look at that shot there. And you just get a split second of absolutely nothing.
Well, I can't believe there were, I think, 4 seasons of this show. Because one show after the next, they put out cameras, they do all this stuff, they bait the area, and they find nothing.
Nice.
Which doesn't bother me, because it's like, yeah, I get that you didn't find anything. I don't care about that.
And you don't got a lot else going on.
No, so. What I enjoy about the show is all of this stuff they talk about with historical context and, you know, sometimes they'll talk about what Native American beliefs were in the area before,
yeah,
and all of this stuff. And then sometimes they'll talk to an expert who says, well, we think they're seeing this animal and misidentifying it because of X, Y, or Z. Yeah, yeah. And that's interesting to hear that theory and go, yeah, that's probably what it is, or no, nah, that's probably not what it is, but I don't know what it is, you know. Because, I mean, when it comes right down to it, I mean, you know me, and probably the listeners have figured this out too. There aren't very many things that I believe are true, you know, telepathy or psychic ability or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it that there isn't, you know, that science knows everything or that I know everything. But provisionally speaking, I'm mostly in the very skeptical, this probably isn't a thing,
yeah,
camp, even though I like hearing stories about it. And I don't know why I like hearing stories about it, in spite of the fact I don't believe it. I guess because it entertains me. I don't know why. And not in a mean-spirited way toward the people who believe it, because I have a lot of respect for people who can talk about these things. I always ask friends who have had experiences with ghosts to tell me their experiences, because I really want to hear what they are. And I don't pretend that I believe in ghosts or anything like that. I mean, I'm very upfront with what my own personal ideas are, but I'm also open-minded, and I want to hear what people have to say. And I do have to say, most of the stories I've heard from my friends who have had these experiences, they seem very subjective to me. You know what I'm saying? When they describe their experiences, there's a lot of, they talk a lot about their emotions. They talk a lot about how they feel. And even their description of it doesn't include a lot of things that someone else standing in the room with them would probably be able to.
You're right. When I think of a lot of those kind of stories, it's a lot of, and then I felt a sense of foreboding.
Yeah, yeah,
I felt,
yeah,
like I was being watched.
Yeah, yeah. It's very rarely does it include something. Very rarely is there anything in the experience that
I clearly saw a dude out there floating in the,
yeah,
air.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very rarely. It's almost always, well, I felt this way, or it got really cold, or someone was watching me, and the hair on my, you know, but, and sometimes
a lot of shit that has been proven to be actual side effects from being subjected to infrasound, by the way.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, we talked about that.
The now, cold chill, the sense of doom.
And sometimes when they see something, it's just out of the corner of their eye, or,
yeah,
or whatever. And often it's what they hear. Oh, I heard this sound or that sound, which, I mean, someone who lived out in the country, you know, isolated in an old creaky house, I mean, mm-hmm, I've heard just about every kind of sound you can imagine that sounds like someone walking on the roof or whatever, but I knew for good and well that's not what it was. And I'm not saying that that's what they heard. What I'm saying is these, so far in all the experiences people tell me about, this is the kind of thing. Although I've known a couple people who describe having their sheets pulled off of them.
Although, that's just gravity. If your bed's upside down, then.
Although in at least half of those instances, someone else, it was like a spouse was in bed with them.
Yeah.
So that person could easily have kicked.
And them. I have been in situations where, due to just lying still enough or comfortable enough or whatever, I have reached out and felt a hand on me that turned out to be mine. And scared the shit out of myself.
Okay, well, and I
this
also
may have mostly been in college, and I may have been drinking.
There are also certain phenomena involved in lucid dreaming, in the fact that your body goes into a kind of paralysis at a certain point in sleep that you might wake up to. So there's all of these things that, you know, as a person who studied human behavioral sciences and you know, psychology and all this stuff, there are a lot of explanations for these things that might not be the explanation. It might not have been what happened, but because there's this very easily proven and understandable alternative, you can't just go with whatever that anecdotal evidence is. But I totally respect their experience, and I love to hear about them. But just nothing. I've never heard anything that convinced me that these things are.
I love to hear about them. I don't respect your experience at all. I love to hear about them to mock you. How disgusting is it to podcast across from me?
What do you mean?
I mean, I got this pizza here with just nothing but meat toppings, and I'm just eating it in pieces, not slices, but like just picking up bacon and shoving it in my mouth, and then I'm just like ripping out chunks of cheese and shoving it in my face, and you just got to talk at me the whole time.
Well, that doesn't bother me.
Like, I'm almost grossed out from my side. That might be a thing, though. It might just be rough looking at your face.
I'm not bothered by many things, as you know. But anyway, it's a
ghosts.
It's a fun show to watch.
I wanted a show like that, but with religions.
With religious claims?
Just straight up religions. Like, we hear that Lutherans believe this, so we went and found out, and historically there's this. And then...
but in this show, they go and actually, like, set up cameras and...
No, it has to be, like, miraculous shit. So, like, in this one...
So investigating miracles?
Basically.
Hmm.
Investigating religious phenomena in different denominations.
That might be interesting. Those stories don't interest me as much for some reason.
No, I think it'd be fucking hilarious.
I mean, I'm just as skeptical of them, but they're not, like, to me.
I'm just saying
they're not cool stories. They're just
no.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, like, of the variety of people
Statue
who
of
say,
Mary or whatever.
I know what I saw and it was real, and fuck you, you think I'm crazy, but it was real, and you have a problem, not me. La 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 la. Of those people, the religious ones are way funnier than just the moonshiner who saw Bigfoot.
Well, I don't... But
the
see,
religious version of I saw Bigfoot and fuck you if you don't believe me is hilarious.
Okay, well, but I mean, I don't...
And way more common.
I'm not entertained by this show because it's funny. I'm entertained by it because I think it's interesting.
I know, I didn't say you
sometimes
should
it's
watch this
funny,
new
I guess,
show
but...
I'm inventing. You would probably find it too mean-spirited.
Yeah, I don't really like mean-spirited things for some reason.
I like mean-spirited things against people I don't like.
Well, maybe that's the reason I don't like them, because there aren't very many people I don't like. Or even groups of people I don't
tons
like.
Tons of people I don't like. Well, those are people I like much shorter.
And if there are people, groups of people that aren't likable, like, I don't know, ISIS or something, I still... I'm not going to enjoy watching a show that makes fun of them.
Do you mean the terrorist group, or do you mean the fictitious secret agency from the show Archer? Because those people are not likable.
I still love
that show.
The terrorist group. I don't know. It's just where I come from. Mean-spirited stuff isn't funny to me. Even against people who are mean themselves, it's just... In principle, it's just not funny to me. But I understand it's funny to a lot of people, and that's fine.
I don't like
business.
It against people that I like. Those people are jerks. But as I said, I don't like that many people. All right.
Well, yeah, what about your week?
Oh, nothing.
No?
I don't think I watched any movies. Project Runway is back. I'm eating that up with a spoon. Killjoys, we're still watching. We're a few behind. So Killjoys had an episode where a key character that we'd never seen before was played by Amanda Tapping.
Don't know what that is.
Amanda Tapping is, I've coined her, the queen of Canadian science fiction. Hmm. She played Samantha Carter in Stargate SG-1 and Stargate Atlantis and Stargate every other goddamn thing she was on. She was the main lead in the show Sanctuary. She's the queen of Canadian science fiction. She shows up everywhere. And that's how I know the most recent episode she played a role, didn't spend a lot of time, maybe 10 minutes on screen, and then left. And I'm like, I know that character is coming back. You do not fork over the money for the queen of Canadian science fiction to have her do one part in one episode and then disappear. So she'll be back.
Yeah, that's usually what happens when there's a recognizable actor.
Back in the 80s, every goddamn murder mystery show, you always knew whoever the most famous guest star was the murderer. That got real old. There are several comedians who do bits about that one. Yeah, I don't think I saw any movies or anything.
You know, we've been watching The Twilight Zone a lot lately, and I always know what's going to happen 2 minutes in. And my wife's like, have you seen this one before? No, but...
Trish is like that. Well, we
this play... This is going to happen, I know, because it's blah, blah, blah. And of course, that's exactly what happens.
We play, except Trish doesn't let me play anymore. She gets mad. We used to play the castle game.
Guessing how castle was going to go.
There is a simple process that 98% of the time will tell you who the murderer is going to be on Castle within 15 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
But the weird thing is the same principle applied to any other murder mystery still has like 70% accuracy.
I'm pretty sure the same formula they use for Castle is what they use for Bones, what they use for... I could probably name you the ones they use it for because it's always like that.
Yeah. It's not based on who's famous. They finally have gotten over that. They finally have gotten over that. Although, we do have to watch out sometimes. If somebody famous seems to disappear quickly, they'll be back. but no, what it is generally speaking, because every show we have the lead up to finding the body. Every murder show, and then it's the body of the, and that's usually the first act break or whatever, you know. And we come back, and we have the crime scene. The cops are around, we're asking the initial questions, especially in Castle. We're about to go to our first dude who we're going to stick in the interrogation room, who's never the guy.
No.
But while we're in this scene, there's always somebody who shows up just enough for us to be told who they are.
Yeah.
They get a name, and they get occupation or a relation, but they don't do anything.
Lester, what's going on? Oh, sorry, Sergeant. This is my neighbor, Olivia.
Yes, I heard something was wrong.
She's always coming over to bring us a casserole or something.
It's not uncommon that they're the ones who point you to the first suspect, too, actually. It's
possible.
But it's always fucking them. Yeah. Always. This famous actress died. This is her assistant. She called in the thing. Yeah, is she going to be all right? No, she's dead. Oh, I'm sad. Leave. Never see her again. Yeah. Last 10 minutes. But wait, that's the assistant's fingerprints. Oh, my God. You killed her because secretly you were her mom. You know, whatever the fuck it was.
Yep, that's how it is. Almost every time.
But Castle, it was dead. Every time. Trish eventually said, stop doing it. Because I would be like, by Castle rules, that's the murderer. And Trish eventually was like, stop doing that. Because it completely kills any suspense I have for it. Because sometimes she wouldn't notice. Because that's the thing. They're so insignificant.
Yeah.
That sometimes it just sneaks by, but I would always point them out. And so then she'd come back. Mm-hmm. But I'll still play it every once in a while. I'll be like, you know, by Castle rules, that's... But it's really funny when it's like in a heist movie or something. Because then, usually, unless it's a shitty heist movie, they don't fall for that. But I'm always like, you know, by Castle rules, it would be that person. And every once in a while, I'm right. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, so, you can usually guess. Or if you're not sure... You can narrow it down to two people.
Yeah, yeah.
That in the first half of the show, as far as the characters in the show are concerned, aren't even on the radar. But usually you can figure out exactly who it is.
What was really funny for me is in the late 80s, early 90s especially, Murder, She Wrote, Matlock, those, the formula was, here are three suspects. And we're going to have them right up to the end. All three of them are viable. We're not even pretending. Whoever the protagonist is, Matlock or Jessica Fletcher or whatever, say, these are the three suspects. Like, it happened all the time. You always had three people with motive and maybe opportunity. Mm. And then, you know, at about the 10-minute mark, somebody found an earring in the carpet that the police missed. So clearly it was that drag queen, you know, whatever. It was always three. And I knew it was always three. And it really sunk home because... It also sunk home how pointless the rest of the show was. Because Matlock, a couple of times, I think, definitely at least once, pulled an American Idol on the murderer.
What do you mean?
I mean, they ran the episode, had the three victims, and then at the last commercial break said, call in and vote for who the murderer is.
What?
And they...
Did they really do that?
They really fucking did that because it doesn't fucking matter. Because Matlock can find an earring under the table, or he can find a bow tie, or he can find a note that says, I did it, signed suspect 3, under the table, and none of the shit that happened earlier matters at all.
Yeah, that really does admit how formulaic your show is when you can have people call in and pick the person.
But none of us believed it. I was a kid. I don't know what everybody else
No, wait. So,
well, I mean, we believed it, but
Were people calling in to determine who the person was or to guess?
No, to determine.
Oh, man.
They were voting for the fucking murderer.
That's bad.
Whoever got the most votes was the murderer.
That's bad.
That didn't traumatize me nearly as much as the Dick Van Dyke episode.
He was on Matlock?
Yes. And you remember how I tell you the biggest guest star is the murderer? They didn't even mess around this time. It's an episode of Matlock. Starts off, it's an episode of Matlock, no Andy Griffith, no homespun banjo, whatever. Just Dick Van Dyke fucking murdering a woman. And then that's over. And then we start a normal Matlock episode. And then he gets his defendant, who's sweet and kind, but they think that she murdered somebody. And then they're doing the thing, and they're doing the arraignment, and the judge comes out, and the judge is fucking Dick Van Dyke.
Oh.
And this is a cool idea. I now know, as a grown-up who's seen that, as a, you know, like, 10-year-old who watches Matlock and who relies on the fact that every episode is exactly the same except for possibly a commercial break where you can vote for who the murderer is out of the three. This ruined my brain. I mean, the fact that I remember it should say something.
Oh, didn't you watch Columbo? Because Columbo was...
I am slightly too young for Columbo.
Okay, Columbo was... I don't know if it was the first show, but it was one of the first shows, certainly the most popular show, whose formula was, you right at the beginning of the show, you see the crime and who did it. The mystery is, how is Columbo going to figure it out?
Okay, because that's what this was. Yeah, and I was not used to that.
So they gave it the Columbo treatment, basically.
I was used to...
That was the Columbo way.
Here's our protagonist living their life. This time they're in Hawaii, or this week they're with their friend, whoever. Oh, look, somebody got killed. Let's fix it.
Let's fix it.
It's definitely one of these three people.
I wonder if Murder, She Wrote ever did the Columbo thing. Not in your recollection, huh?
Not that I recall. For some reason, I remember Matlock way better than Murder, She Wrote, and I like Murder, She Wrote better. I do remember Matlock when Robert Goulet was the murderer.
Hmm.
But that was the thing Matlock was very big on. So-and-so's the murderer, but we think that early on, but they have an ironclad reason why they're not. Matlock had I'm pretty sure he's the murderer, but he was on stage in front of hundreds of people at the time, one. That one, by the way, he has a whole section where he's not in the spotlight and everybody's watching Vegas Showgirls. And so while that happened, he ran off and did it and came back. That was Robert Goulet. There was David Ogden Stiers, where I feel like he's the murderer. He totally should be the murderer. But the person was shot, and he's fucking blind. And that one was just an elaborate thing where he, like, used string and stuff and found a spot. And so he made it so that when the victim was upstairs and they stepped on this thing, he would hear the sound, and he had the gun aimed, and so he would shoot it. He was the murderer. And then there was one where somebody was killed on the second floor, but the dude's a paraplegic. And that one was way less interesting, because that one was basically just, he has fucking amazing arms. And he basically rappelled up.
So, is it always the case that Matlock pretty much has it figured out ahead of time, but no, nobody believes it and he has to prove it?
These were later. These were late. These were 90s versions. In the 80s versions, it was always three suspects. Was it the daughter who was supposed to inherit? Was it the jealous girlfriend? Or was it the brother who just showed up in town again? You know, all of that kind of shit.
Because that later stuff is almost Columbo-like, too, where the protagonist, not that that we know, but that the protagonist has an idea, and because this has happened so often, you know the protagonist is right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So now you also know who did it, but now you're figuring out how he or she's going to prove it.
Well, and it goes in cycles. Because that became a thing eventually, because everybody was like, oh yeah, if they say it, it must be, they're not going to have a wrong theory. So then we had to have a whole set of ones where we have a wrong theory. And now we've just got the entire castle is like the ultimate of this, the apex, because we just put all of those in one show. Because they always have a first suspect, and they alibi out, but that sends us to a whole other one, and about two-thirds of the way through, we are sure we got the right person, and then it turns out they absolutely could not have done it. And, like, seriously.
Well,
and
I mean,
then it turns out to be that person that you met at the beginning.
I don't think Castle's the first one to do that. I mean, again, I'm pretty sure Bones does that and has always done it.
I don't watch enough Bones.
I think that was the formula the Closer used, even.
It's probably what Rizzoli and Isles does.
They've been doing this for a long time. This is how you draw the story out. In fact, when I wrote the sequel to Junior Park Patrol, West High Private Eye, that's what happens in ours. They've got like three or four suspects, and it's not that person. This, like you said, alibis out, or for whatever reason, gets eliminated until they find the person at the end.
It's amazing how we just sit through this. Like, why would you watch more than one episode of Columbo, you know? Why would I watch more Matlock?
Well, now, Columbo, though, remember, you see the crime being committed, and you watch him figure it out.
Yes, but I bet you'll discover that...
There's probably a formula, but it's not like any of these formulas, you know? So, you know, there's probably a lot of ways to... It's probably very similar... The Columbo episodes are probably similar to Sherlock Holmes stories, where...
Well, but what I'm saying is all these shows we've talked about have one thing in common. Well, two things. People get killed, and they're very popular. But why, when we've established that basically every episode is almost identical?
Well,
maybe actually that's the answer. It's old people, and old people like the comfort.
Well, I don't know. I mean, my mom liked shows like this, but she also liked Quincy, and she liked documentaries about real crimes being solved by forensic investigators, especially. Yeah. She really liked that kind of thing. And even though there's not a lot of forensic science in a lot of these shows, there's still a quote-unquote bad person does something, and a quote-unquote good person prevents them from getting by with it.
I think you might be onto something there, because that's the uniform thing across all of them, and that's very comforting.
Well, and people start to really like the main personality. They like that person. And, you know, it's like...
Although Law and Order started breaking from that. Law and Order had some episodes that ended with you believed the bad person getting away with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Or being inconclusive.
But, you know, a detective, I mean, as our listener, Jazz, who is a professor who studies these things, detective fiction has been popular since the 19th century. It's one of the earliest forms of the novel. And, you know, there are a lot of deep cultural reasons for it to be popular in the 19th century that are probably true today. About, you know, that involve certain dualistic aspects of our culture and we were talking about this just the other day in email, because we were talking about, I was talking about how
is this how I turned into Elizabeth Warren?
No. We're
talking about that in email.
I was talking to Jazz about how reading some of this 19th century fiction is making me think about the transformation in storytelling from you compose a story with the idea in your head that you're speaking to a group of people. or even if you're going to write it down, it's like broadcasting it to a bunch of people who are going to read it. But instead, writing with what you have in mind is that an individual person, not a particular person that you know, but some individual person somewhere is alone reading this. Mm. And that's a whole different way of storytelling when that's what you're writing for. And I think that's really where literary fiction comes in to modern storytelling. And so she was talking about...
I should probably warn you, we have like 5 minutes left and we haven't drawn anything out of the hat.
Oh, well, maybe we should stop talking about it then. Because I don't know how to explain her idea briefly. I'm sure she can get on the blog and...
Get on the blog and explain your idea briefly.
It's very insightful.
Or not briefly. Yeah, my bad.
It doesn't have to be brief, Jazz.
Trish just says, did you just tell Jazz to do something briefly?
This is from Anonymous.
Mm.
And it seems like we've had this question before.
Baby, what?
Tell William about the Stone Age before you do the question.
We haven't got a lot of time.
So they have figured out that various primates fucking use stone tools.
Yeah.
And primate archaeology has become a new discipline, and they basically have discovered that certain species of primates are currently essentially in the Paleolithic era of evolution and have been since approximately when the Egyptian Empire was big.
Hmm. That's interesting. I guess
about 3,000 to 4,000 years.
I hadn't heard that. I mean, for many years now, they've been realizing that the Neanderthals were...
Yes.
A lot more sophisticated than people
originally thought.
Well,
and they've been realizing that a lot of different species use tools, despite our belief that only humans use tools. But now they've discovered that they actually use, and in some cases make, stone tools, and have for approximately, like I said, 3,000 to 4,000 years.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Anyway.
I didn't hear that.
Go.
What do you think of Al Jazeera? Has someone asked us this before?
Al Jazeera has come up on here before. I don't know that it was specifically this.
I have, in the past, Al Jazeera has been one of my news sources, not because I think they're like better than anyone else, but because most of my news sources are non-American.
Doesn't that mean son of Jazeera?
I don't know. So, now as far, since I've, you know, gotten a lot of news from Al Jazeera, I suppose I ought to have an opinion on how I think they do at it. But here's the thing. BBC, RT, which is from Russia, Al Jazeera. I shouldn't say all of my sources are from other countries, because there are some American sources. But the point is...
He's not going to mention them.
I don't generally judge any of these news sources as good or bad or unbiased or whatever. My whole reason for getting news from several different sources is so that I can get a broad range of opinions. I can get news that's not just about America or American politics, or I can get a foreign perspective on American politics. So I don't really need to draw some grand conclusion about whether or not Al Jazeera is a good news source or not. If I was getting some of their news and I thought it was outlandishly bad, like not very well done, I'd stop using them as a news source. So I guess while I keep getting news from them, I guess I can at least say that I think they're as every bit as legitimate a news source as any other news source. But do I think they're better, or do I think they're always right, or anything like that? I mean, I don't really have an opinion about that. All I know is that sometimes when I pick up a news article, it's from them. And I don't think I've ever gotten a reason from those news articles to think that they're any less reliable or trustworthy news source than any other news source that I use, including a few American ones, but a lot of other foreign ones.
What is their stance on werewolves in Wisconsin?
I don't know. That's another thing. I have no idea if Al Jazeera has a stance on something. I don't know what it is. Because
I think they're distinctly anti-Wisconsin werewolf.
Maybe, I don't know.
No, I'm pretty confident.
But that's another thing is, from all of these sources, including the BBC,
they're
or
weirdly pro
Reuters, or a lot of the a lot of the news sources I use, I don't generally read opinion stuff that they put out there, either from their editors or from guest editors. I don't read a lot of op-ed stuff. I just read the news. And what's kind of amazing is that when you're just reading the news and you're reading it from a lot of sources, and I get some stuff from Fox too, it all looks the same. I mean, even Fox News news looks like everybody else's news. It's their opinion stuff that's really different from everybody else's. And so I actually think the state of news worldwide is fairly good. If you're only watching news from one source, though, and you're getting some news from them, but also some opinion and also some commentary, it doesn't even matter. I don't care if it's Fox. I don't care if it's MSNBC. I don't care if it's CNN. You're probably getting crap.
But if it's Al Jazeera, you're fine.
Well, I don't know. I'm sure Al Jazeera has opinion commentary stuff, too, that I think is crap. So,
anti-Wisconsin.
So my recommendation about the news in general has always been, get your news from a lot of different sources, a lot of different perspectives, and you'll probably find that, you know, even Fox News, as just the news parts, is perfectly good. But of course, it only covers certain things. So there's certain things that even Fox News, no matter how objectively good as a news source it is it's not going to tell you everything. And I don't get a lot from Fox, as it turns out, because they only cover such a narrow spectrum of things that I'm not really interested in. But sometimes they have a good news article about something.
Of course, my view is get your news from no place.
Well, you know, here's the thing about that, too. There have been, like, sometimes there's like a 2 or 3 week period where I am focused on other things, and I really don't get any news for that 3 week period. And so then after that 3 week period is over, it's like, okay, well, I need to catch up on news. And that's the most depressing day. And I really consider not reading
the news anymore. Apparently you're in one of those phases right now, because you're sending so many fucking links to so much shit right now. Oh my God.
What? No, the stuff I'm sending is like...
I don't know. I haven't looked at it yet. There's so much of it.
No, it's not. It's not like bad news. It's most of it's funny of stuff. If I include you on something, I think it's going to be funny, or that you'll think it's funny.
We're over time. Mostly. And I haven't gotten to give my opinion on Al Jazeera.
Do you have one?
I have absolutely no opinion.
Okay, well, I don't think Al Jazeera. You did.
But I do have a related opinion. I don't understand this. I'm not an expert on the publication in question. As we know, I experience very little news. However, I think I can confidently say, and I just realized this the other day when it happened again, every single article from the Atlantic that has been sent to me has been a shitty article. Every single one. Now, I mean, this doesn't necessarily say something about the Atlantic. This potentially just says something about my friends or just weird coincidence or my poor taste in, but every single one, I'm like, this is a terrible, and this is the thing. I'm not even talking like what it's about. Like, some of the articles I agree with and some of them I disagree with, but even the ones I agree with, I'm like, this was really shitty put together. Your arguments are really
but
crap.
Are they news or are they opinion? Or what
I would
they?
Say in general they fall into op-ed, but nowadays the line is so blurry.
Yeah, well, that's kind of true. But but in my experience, just every news source has good stuff and bad stuff. And usually the good stuff or neutral stuff is not good or bad, it's just the news. Is the news, and the bad stuff is usually their op-eds or opinions, and it's just garbage. And I don't really care about that. I just want to get the news. But the news is very depressing these days. It's hard to read the news and not just
I don't do it.
That's why for a long time I also got a lot of news from NASA, because that was always good news.
No, every headline starts with "Remember when?"
No. They're doing all kinds of cool stuff all the time. And a lot of science news is fun and not good or bad, but it's just sort of like, oh, we've learned this new thing, you know. So that kind of balanced out the geopolitical news, which was almost always bad.
Yes. All right, go home.
Okay.
No, not you, them.
Well, I'm going home too.
All right. We hold no respect for the space-time continuum, so we already recorded next week's, but I'd like you to note, we didn't spoil any of it. So enjoy that next week, and enjoy this week, And
in just a few minutes.
Hail Hydra.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.